Welcome to the Sunday worship service of September 13th, 2020. Court worship comes from John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here together to worship you, to listen to your word. Show your presence, open our hearts, that we may fulfill your presence in the midst of our struggles and sufferings. Yet your presence, your grace, is more than enough. Be with us through the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the first installment of Jesus Encounters the People. And the text comes from two areas. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It provides the focus of the whole message. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. John chapter 2, and verse 9, and we're going to read three portions from the John, and the design is John chapter 2, we're going to read first the Cana incident, and also at the conclusion that we're going to read John chapter 4:46, there is a second Cana conclusion that I believe it is coincides with our study in the water in the wilderness, first Meribah and second Meribah. And so there are three characters actually in Gospel of John chapter 2, 3, and 4. And Nicodemus and St. John the Baptist and his disciples and a Samaritan woman at the town of Sychar by the well. And out of the three characters, we're going to today just focus on the woman at the well. So now this is the word of God. John chapter 2, verse 9. And the master of banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize whether it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Move on to chapter 4, verse 4 and 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw the water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Verse 42. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." We're going to move on to last reading. John chapter 4, verse 46. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal officer whose son lay sick at Capernaum. The royal officer said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." 50. Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. 53. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. 54. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. From the Water in the Wilderness series, we had learned two things. First, the problems under the covenant of creation. The matter works like a recipe. You have the issue and you fix the problem by applying right principle. Nothing personal about it. Second, but it is not so with the order of a new creation. The work of salvation does not follow this bilateral track. It requires another third point, which like a leverage point in the lever that pulls the weight of a problem. The third point of leverage came different signs of Messiah. And in the wilderness series in the Exodus, ranging from tree, rock, word, and brazen snake. And water and healing that needed for life and salvation came from that Messiah point. Today we find John has laid it out. Three characters, Nicodemus, disciples of John the Baptist, and Samaritan woman from Sychar. And as I said, we just want to focus on one character, Samaritan woman by the well at the town of Sychar. We'll examine this as a test case, what will happen if people encounter with Jesus. John made his intention of writing the gospel abundantly clear. Chapter 20, verse 31. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So this is from Cana 1, that Jesus' crucifixion signified, and Cana 2, and Jesus' resurrection. In between, there's this woman, Samaritan woman, and this house Samaritan woman transformed from her like a struggle stages and now become almost like a first woman messenger of gospel in the John's gospel is the quite transformation. And that is exactly how from Cana and point two, Cana two, how this sanctification and transformation will occur. So first, if so, how does the choosing of a Samaritan town, Sychar, serve the purpose of John's writing? It is quite interesting to note that firstly, John has eliminated rather a custom place like Jerusalem and the Passover feast as a place of highlighting his point. John chapter 2, verse 23 and 4, it says, "Now, while he was in Jerusalem at Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men." And John chapter 7, verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because Jews there were waiting to take his life." So even though they have experienced many miracles and some of them believed in it, at the end, that place it signifies how they all turned against Jesus. One characteristic of this type loves miracles and wondrous signs from Jesus, but they abstain themselves from following Jesus as his disciples in their daily life, confessing and witnessing Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. What is the comfortable Jerusalem spot that you have nestled in, where you may have lots of testimonies of God's wondrous work and provisions, for you have experienced, but so scanty in Jesus, the living presence and the obedience of His word. We must exercise extra caution when we become too accustomed to the Bible facts, and the Bible almost becomes trivial, and the routine of church life, which can be miles apart from the reality of church, a body of Christ, and the Bible as God's living word. Only when we acknowledge the fact that Jesus, what we have been used to and accustomed to, and Jesus who and what He really is not necessarily the equal and same thing. It is the two separate realities, often overlaps, but it is not the same thing. You'll never be used to real Jesus. Do you know what church really is? Do you know how Bible is a living word of God? Christian work that often are filled with mind-numbing exercises of good habits in itself is a good thing, but it has a tendency that gives a false pretense appearance of vitality, but in the end result in the lifeless collection of activities so thick of busy programs it actually suffocates the life itself. Because for life to flesh it out, it has to live it out. And if we are so full of activities, always no room for spiritual imagination, and become busybodies, and there is no meaningful reflection, then we should be worried about where our real Christian living in Christ might be withering away. Secondly, it is also quite interesting to note that John purposely, I believe, eliminate the location of Jesus' hometown, Galilee of Capernaum, as Jesus may often refer, they had many activities, miracle signs, but he did not use that, Jesus' hometown, as his teaching point of a proclamation of this gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection. Chapter 4, verse 45, John, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Chapter 6, verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I come down from heaven? Chapter 6, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Do not confuse the familiarity of Christian faith with that of Christian maturity. Self-examination under the scrutiny of the Word of God is the foundation of any aspect, prospect of Christian maturity. Thirdly, the place that John actually chosen to deliver the best sounding gospel message to give the bracket, not the content, but it's a bracket, a beginning end, is Cana, the neighboring town of Capernaum in Galilee. The first Cana from chapter 2, verse 11 is the place of water and blood, the cross sacrifice of Jesus. The second Cana from chapter 4, verse 54 is the place of resurrection, where Jesus gave a new life to the dying son of a centurion from Capernaum. Jesus, interestingly, refused to accompany the centurion's request to return to the town of Capernaum, to his hometown instead. He commanded the healing of a new life from Cana to the boy in Capernaum. And the centurion, and after he returned, he realized the exact time that Jesus mentioned this healing, his son turned around and have the life back. And centurion and all his household came to believe Jesus afterward. John introduced this faith of a resurrection by the lips of Peter. Its characteristic is grounded in the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 66. You do not want to leave, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So the last place in between these two canals, the Samaritan place, the town of Sychar, even though Jesus stayed there for 2 days, and his disciples were all there, but the John did not mention of any miraculous signs and wonders Jesus performed there. He might have, but the John did not mention it, because what John wanted to highlight is that it's in the end, it's not some miraculous signs, it's not some other things. The real deal is the Word became flesh, and that Word became flesh is actually encapsulated in the Word of God, the Bible, scriptures, and also the body of Christ in the church. And how we're going to experience it is that through our belief of obedience of belief. And now move on to the character of Samaritan woman. Second, why John picked the character of Samaritan woman to champion the intent of his writing of John's gospel? Chapter 20, verse 30 says, Jesus did many other miracle signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So, John easily could have chosen other characters, other more savory characters, if you will. But John chose this Samaritan woman. Why? I simply, personally, opinion, cannot imagine that Jesus met with this Samaritan woman at the well with a prepared scheme that later some of his dialogue with this woman character would be picked up and repackaged for this gospel writing. If there is a clear intention, it is of John who specifically chose to bring the memory of this Samaritan woman because she fits the best to come across his point to show to what kind of people Jesus' heart moved and loved to engage in them intensely and intimately. In other words, Jesus' compassionate heart tilted, biased almost, toward the people who are at risk, who are at the brink of their demise, who are out of their wits, who are desperate. Regarding this Samaritan woman, whether it be her townsmen or 21st century readers like us, there seems to be a same trait of judgmental streak runs through by applying this callous, a strict moral measure or uncouth ethical cause. Unlike the conventional stance done by the world and us, me included, Jesus strictly approached this woman from the point of honest, relentless, courageous personal happiness point of view. So inherently embedded natural right, even the Constitution guaranteed this personal happiness. Jesus saw the woman almost like an example of Solomon, as described in the book of Ecclesiastes, who did not hesitate anything that his mind desires. Chapter 4, verse 18. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. But the real question, ever gently and subtly, Jesus presented before her and to encounter to face are, So after all your effort and trials, have you succeeded? Are you satisfied with your life's choice and actions and the way that it turned it out? And the way that you pursued it? Isn't this the acceptance? Isn't this the acceptance, the way that Jesus approached and accepted her, that she searched for all her life to find in man, husband, and marriage, and could not get it, yet finally received this welcoming from such an unexpected place, the place of her heart? That's why she came in during the night and during the day, because she doesn't want about another like give a hint, another like gossiping materials. Isn't this work of Messiah supposed to come upon it if it comes upon me? Is not this a time of worship the Father God, neither on this mountain or Jerusalem, but right at the well spot here and now? When we welcome and receive the people who came upon me without passing judgment and acknowledge the person where he is or she is, and she encounters the person as he is in truth and spirit, isn't this the worship that honors God in the midst of our daily encounter with the people? How exuberant and liberating this experience must have been for this American woman. She left behind the water jar practically at the trust of this stranger Messiah to introduce this Jesus to the village people. Her claim of Jesus being the Christ Messiah, interestingly, did not have any claim of miraculous signs or wonders to back her claim, like other occasions. Its message is captured in John's rendering, chapter 4, verse 29. Come, see this man who told me everything I ever did. Do you honestly think that this woman suddenly became so convinced of Jesus' messiahship with full knowledge and full understanding and caught the zeal of gospel spread? And besides, honestly, didn't she really know, her fellow villagers know, what she had ever did in the town? Why she had to remind them? Before then, it was like, hurt, putting the sword in her heart. But now it's changed. It's like a Mara's bitter water turned into the sweet water, as this tree was put into the water. That's what happened when Jesus come into her, in her life, in her situation, in her heart. It turns the table around. The point is this. Unlike you and I, this Jesus unshackled me from the bondage of guilt and shame by his acceptance. Unlike Jesus, you and I, this Jesus unquenched the unstoppable thirst, the want, and being accepted by satisfying her needs and desires. And she is saying, I am saved from my sins and curses of relationship. Jesus is the cure of my relationship. Jesus is the Lord and King and Savior of my everything. John's highlight of gospel message through the Samaritan woman and her village is that he did not mention any of the miracle signs that often accompany in the place like Jerusalem, Capernaum, not even those of Cana. What Jesus did was to stay with them for 2 full days. And because of his words, only his words, because of his words, many more became believers. The 2 days were mentioned again. Chapter 4, verse 43, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. What does John signify? Because after 2 days, what's the 2 days after the 2 days? That's the third day. And upon the third day, the healing word from Cana, the dying son of a centurion, to highlight the point of a resurrection faith, a Cana's sign. It signals that Lastly, what are the points John tries to communicate to us? First, the Lord Jesus Christ, at his own will and freedom, chose to perform and not to perform the miracles and wonder signs to convey the good news message. He has the freedom of the means of gospel delivery. It is his prerogative. But one thing that is so sustaining and so foundational, so persistent and present every time, that cannot be updated up, that cannot be compromised in random, is the two prime signs. First, sign of water and blood from Jesus' cross. And second, sign of resurrected Jesus as the Lord and Christ. And what is combining these two signs? It is the power of the Spirit in Jesus' word. That's why 1 John chapter 5 verse 5 says, "Who is that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is Son of God." Verse 6, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." What is the Spirit who testifies for this Jesus? Isn't that the Holy Scripture in written form? God's revelation. That's why at the end of Jesus' crucifixion, when Roman soldier pierced Jesus' side, there's water and the blood came out from the side, and John specifically mentioned, it's the only John's gospel mentioned it, because it signifies, it corresponds with the first Cana instant and water turned into the wine. It signifies, and at the same time, it goes all the way back to how the woman is created from the side of man. And that was the husband-wife relationship. But out of the Jesus side, the church, the Jesus bridegroom, has been created by the blood and water. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Bible, Scripture, and Spirit is working, testifying who Jesus is. And all other signs are in between two points, between these two biggies. In what form? My last question is, in what form and appearance, and what leverage point does your Jesus currently come upon you now? Experience the power of word by faithful obedience of his word. Faith works in love. Apostle Paul coined it that way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we are wander off in many directions, my life has been securely locked in between these two points, the cross of Jesus and resurrection, empty tomb of Jesus. Oh Father God, whether I'll be whatever stage it may be, Father God, open our eyes, help us to fill our hearts with your word and believe in your word and act upon with this word. Have our hearts fixed on the cross and empowered by the reality of the resurrection. May Spirit works in our heart and mind and deeds and life in the world. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon us as we follow through your word in our daily walk, throughout the day, throughout the night, throughout the week, for the rest of our life, forevermore. Amen.